Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have an extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 files of these radio programs by the subject title. You'll also find many other Bible-related materials, videos, and study material that will help you and aid you in God's Word, and also some information about us you can find on that website. And then at the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the meeting times of our regular Bible study periods and worship periods of the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible and an open mind and let us show you the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We've been looking for the past few weeks at a pattern of salvation. Man sins. All men sin. Romans 3:23. God's grace. All men need God's grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. But God's command is that man be obedient. He is the author of all those of salvation to all that obey Him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. In the past week, we have used as a pattern of salvation, we looked at Noah and we looked at Abraham, and today we're going to look at the Israelites. The Israelites were God's chosen people. They grew in Egypt in captivity and under slavery. And God sent Moses in to deliver them from that slavery when they cried and asked for relief. And in the book of Exodus, we read, beginning in Exodus chapter 5, we read about the plagues that God brought upon the Egyptian nation to weaken them and to weaken Pharaoh's resolve to finally let the children of Israel go, and then they would be on their way to the promised land. But we want to look at particularly the Passover and how that benefited the children of Israel. When Israel was in Egypt and the nine plagues had not yet got Pharaoh to finally let them go, God brought the last plague, the final and worst plague, and that was the death of the firstborn. He told him that at a given night that the angel of death would come into Egypt, and every firstborn thing from Pharaoh's house to the lowly servant to the animals, every firstborn thing in Egypt would die. And when Pharaoh that he sent him away and told him he didn't want to see him again. But in Exodus chapter 10 through 12, we have instituted the Passover. The Passover was God's provision of His grace protecting the children of Israel firstborn when the destroyer came into Egypt that night. And so they were instructed by God, given very specific instructions about the Passover lamb. And they were to kill the lamb at a certain time at twilight. They were to eat it and not leave any of it until the morning. And then they were to take the blood of the Passover lamb and they were to put it on the lintel post of their houses where they resided. And when the angel of death or the destroyer came into Egypt that night, when he saw the blood, he would pass over them. When the door was on the doorpost, God would pass over them, and their firstborn child would not die. And so they did exactly what God commanded. And so when the destroyer came into Egypt that night, when the destroyer came in, every firstborn in Egypt died. From Pharaoh to his lowly servant, they died. But not a child of the Israelites died. None of the firstborn died because they were obedient to God's instruction. Notice, man sins. That's why they were in Egypt to begin with, because they had transgressed God's law. And God's grace is given to them to redeem them and to bring them out by the hand of Moses. But in order to receive that redemption, they're going to have to follow the instructions of the Passover. And when they did, God's grace was extended to them in sparing their firstborn child. Now, let me give you one other example about the Israelites, and that is the crossing of the Red Sea. After they were released, it took them a little bit of time, and they came to the borders of the Red Sea. Well, Pharaoh had changed his mind, and he was pursuing them, and he was going to try to overtake them in the wilderness. And so God put a pillar of fire between them that the Egyptians could not reach them, and he guided Israel to the Red Sea by the cloud in the day and the pillar of fire by night. But then they came to the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 14, when they come to the Red Sea, what is the attitude of God's people? Now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp in a certain place. Now, for Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they have bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so he will pursue them. And I will give honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and said, "Why have we done this? Why have we let them go serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He also took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and their captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of the king of Egypt, that he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Now, they went out with boldness, and in verse 10, listen to verse number 10. "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so that they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see them again, no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" Now, God told them that he would save them. So what happened that night? That night, an east wind blew upon the Red Sea. And in the morning, there were two walls of water, one on the right, one on the left, and in the middle ground, there was dry land. Now, God commanded them through Moses to walk across on dry land. Why didn't he just pick them up and put them on the other side? Because they had the ability to walk across. They had to have faith in God. They knew who parted those waters. They knew that God brought them apart and split them so they could go across on dry ground. But they had to have faith in God that he would keep them at bay while they crossed. And there were maybe upwards to 2 million Jews at this time that came out of Israel. And so they had to trust God that he would keep those waters abated until every one of them crossed. And you know, he did. But Pharaoh, who was stubborn, went into the Red Sea after them to pursue them, as God had told Moses he would. And when they got out there, they began to understand that God was fighting for them, and that God, they could not defeat God, and they tried to run back to the shore. But after all the Israelites had got to the other side, he brought the waters back together again, and as the Egyptians tried to run to get back, the water of the Red Sea came together and came on top of them and drowned them, and they died, and they were dead on the seashore, never to bother God's people again. Exactly what God told them. But you know, I want you to see, would anybody deny that God's grace saved them? Nobody would deny that. God's grace saved them because he parted the Red Sea. But did they have to do anything in order to receive the salvation from the Egyptians? Yes, they had to cross the Red Sea. They had to cross on dry ground. They had to take a step of faith, and they had to go into the Red Sea and go across it with the waters of the Red Sea abated. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this is called a baptism unto Moses. In 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. You see, God did not pick them up and put them on the other side because they had the ability to be obedient and to walk across as God commanded them. And when he did, they were saved. They were saved from the wrath of Pharaoh. They were saved from the Egyptians. And as they stand on the other side of the Red Sea, and as the Egyptians are dead on the seashore, the first promise that God has made to Israel has been fulfilled. They now are a free nation. They now are a free people. And the nation that God had promised Abraham in Genesis 12 now comes to fruition. And now they are a free nation under God's care. Now again, I want you to notice that they had instructions that they had to follow. God's grace saved them. He was the one that, his power parted the Red Sea. The Red Sea would have never parted. They could have never walked across on dry land had he not parted the Red Sea. That was his grace being extended through Moses. But their obedience had to be demonstrated by them walking across to the other side. And when they did, God rewarded obedience by saving them from the hand of Pharaoh. And they were a free people. They were the nation that God had promised Abraham. And God had kept promise number one that he had made to Abraham. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to pay very close attention to this pattern. Man sins. God extends grace. God gives him instruction of obedience. And when man does that, God saves him. Man sins. God speaks. Man obeys. God saves him. That was the way it worked with Noah. That was the way it worked with Abraham. And that's how it worked with the Israelites in, first of all, coming out of bondage with the death of the firstborn, saved, their firstborn being saved, and then crossing the Red Sea and being able to be delivered from Pharaoh's hand, finally, once and for all, by their obedient faith of crossing the Red Sea and following God's instruction. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that pattern we have seen three times already with Noah, with Abraham, and with the Israelites. And we will look at it a few more times just to reinforce it. But what I want you to begin to see is that God has a pattern of salvation. And that pattern has not altered in any way throughout time. God's grace is a determining factor. And man's sin makes him need to be a recipient of God's grace. But grace is extended and accessed through obedient faith. When man has obedient faith, then he can access that grace that has been given in many and various ways. That's why James 2 says, faith without works is dead, being alone. Just like the body is dead without the spirit, faith without works is dead, being alone. Not any type of work, but works of obedient faith by following God's